kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Calling our teaching today, Interpreting God's Shaking. Interpreting God's Shaking. I think we're all in agreement that the Lord is shaking the heavens and the earth. They've started. And we have been told over the years that this shaking is not going to stop until Christ's feet stand upon the earth, on Zion. And the shaking is going to intensify. And I want to share with you what I believe the Lord has been revealing to me with regard to all of this and how important it is for us to be able to interpret, to understand, to know prophetically what is happening, why God is doing this, and to be able to discern and test and see all of those things that the Holy Spirit has come baptizing us in the power of the Spirit to be able to interpret and understand and to walk in these last days by faith. That is why he has come, baptizing us. Never forget this, brothers and sisters. We are now learning and being taught by revelation. Flesh and blood does not reveal these things. And it is no good trying to go to the arm of the flesh to try and understand what God is doing and why these things are happening now in these last days. And this is why God has been working with us over all these years to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And I want us to consider those things as we begin to unfold this. Now, we know that the deeper life teaching is to mature us into the fullness of God himself. That is the aim of the Spirit. That is what God is doing with us. He's getting us to grow up. He's getting us to mature, to come into the fullness. And he's using all these experiences that we go through, the trials of our faith, the testings, the overcomings, the delays of faith, everything that God is allowing and permitting in our lives is for the fullness of God himself. And he knows how to achieve and do this in each of us. That is why all of us go through different trials and testings and tribulations, but the end result is that we experience the fullness of God himself. And that is what we have in common. That is part of the basis of our fellowship and why we come together and why we listen to God's word. How do we know this? Well, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13, just to remind ourselves of these scriptures that we have been given over and over again over the years. Ephesians 4 and verse 13, which tells us, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure or full measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And of course, he does all of this through the fivefold ministry that he's been restoring and is restoring in these last days, that you will be brought back under. We also see in chapter 3 and verse 19 of Ephesians. Chapter 3 and verse 19. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And he says, now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So it is the power of God working in us. Always remember that. And whatever your trial, whatever you are going through, has not taken God by surprise. It is the very means in which to perfect you, to work in you the fullness of God himself. Keep that always as the focus in your trials. Whatever it looks like, whatever you're going through, whatever you feel, and so on, this is allowed to bring me into the fullness of God, to become part of the sons of God for this last day. We are talking today about interpreting God's shaking. You may have shaking going on now in your life, but that is for a reason, which we will look at later on. You see, it is God implanting into our hearts the principles of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is teaching. It's taking us into a deeper consecration. And he's using the trials and the tests and the cross in our lives for an end time ministry to be manifested to all creation. As what? As God mature sons. It's the restoration of all things which is at hand. And this is why God is now shaking. And we're going to see why he's doing this. Because God is restoring all things which is at hand. Restoration is coming out of God shaking. Remember this. And we know that God's restoring. Let's just remind ourselves of these scriptures that we probably have underlined, but they are there for a purpose and a reason, because the Spirit is speaking to us through these. So in Acts chapter 3, verse 21, from verse 20 of Acts chapter 3, and he says, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. I love that verse there, because that speaks when God created the world, and the moment that man fell, God had the prophets speaking. Christ himself being the chief prophet, restoring Adam and Eve, dealing with sin that separate them. So it has always been a prophetic ministry since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. So here we see that God is restoring all things, and it is at hand. But for restoration to take place, for restoration to start in the house of God and with the sons of God, God has got to shake. Let's turn to 1 John 3, another scripture that we know very well. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So God has to purify us in order that we shall see him. And of course, that purification starts in Romans 12, 1 and 2, that we present ourselves upon that altar as a living sacrifice. And he says, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So we allow the Spirit of God to purify us. And the way that God will purify us is different with each of us. He most certainly does it through the word which we hear, but he's going to do it through our trials, through our testings, and he's going to do it through this shaking now in these last days. The shaking that has begun is for purification. Remember this as we look at this. And so it's not only for purification, but also to glorify us. And everything is going to be done in its own order. And that's why he's presented to us discipleship. More than just joining a church or listening to a minister, discipleship is you with Christ, putting your hands to that plow and going forward and not looking back. That is what God has been calling now in these days, disciples, followers of Christ and him alone, for relationship and a walk with Almighty God. And then the cross that he presents to us, which he says that you two are to take up daily and follow me. And what do we know about the cross that we take up? The cross that we take up daily is to deal with that self life, that selfish life within us, so that we're able to put God, the kingdom of God, first against our will, our emotions, what I want, and so forth. This is why I make so much about emotions, because emotions work with will. My will. Why we want our way is because emotions are often attached to it. And it's not to say that we don't have emotions. They are God-given, but they are not to govern us. They're not to influence our will. Our will must be to do the will of God. And so God has to deal with these weaknesses in our lives that will stop us from doing the will of God. And how is that dealt with? What deals with that? You guessed it, the cross. Don't ever worry about the cross. As long as you settle it in your life and you desire to take it up daily and follow the Lord, the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit of God will work that cross in your life for the purpose to do God's will. Our desire should be, as overcomers, to do the will of God. That should be our faith, our confession, our aim, our all. And for God to do this, shaking has to happen. And shaking begins first in the house of God. And have we not been seeing God shaking amongst Christendom in the house of God over these years? And he will continue to shake. And it's not only a shaking in the house of God amongst God's sheep, but also a shaking in the world. He doesn't shake the world first. He shakes the house of God, his house. So that when he starts to shake the world, he's just and right in which to do it. Because he's judged his own house first. And that's why he's preserving us, brothers and sisters. And through this judging and this shaking, for God to preserve, he has to have a remnant. And that remnant is Revelation 12. In the womb, preserved. That preservation over us is because God is judging his house. He says judgment begins first in the house of God. It's a preservation. And he has to shake because there is such ungodliness in the house of God. There is such unbelief in the house of God that he has to shake it. And this is why judgment begins first in the house of God, and he is judging it. And he will allow it to be purged when the Antichrist comes. God's going to allow him to have access for a season to persecute God's people. What for? Because he's shaking the house of God. Judgment begins first in the house of God. This is very awesome now, what God is doing. And as he's doing this, so he then turns to the world and he shakes the world. And the shaking has started. You know that, I know that, and the devil knows that. We only have to see and listen with our own eyes. Everybody's saying things are not what they used to be. And they're not. And why? Because God is shaking. That's why. And so through this shaking, through judgment in the house of God, he's going to bring forth and manifest the sons of God, just like he was wanted to manifest the overcomers, the sons of God, under the old covenant, under Moses. The aim of God with Israel was to manifest Israel to the world, that she would be priests and kings to teach the nations. But she failed it in the wilderness. Has God stopped that? Has he finished that work which he has begun? Not at all. He's continuing that through the church age, this new dispensation. And he's going to manifest to the world the overcomers. This is the next great event that he's going to do. And we know this, and again, I'm just going to remind you of this in Romans 8, verses 18 through to 23, verses 18 through to 23. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in who? In us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. So in this shaking that God has started, the shaking is for creation to eagerly wait for deliverers, for a change, for help. And God is going to shake the heavens and the earth, and he's going to shake and shake and shake and shake until they eagerly wait. They're waiting because the shaking is bringing repentance, is bringing a remnant out of this ungodly world. What for? For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God, or the sons of God. So we're waiting for deliverance. How long, Lord? We're looking up because our redemption draws near. Because this glorious liberty is going to come, but it's all in its order. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birthing pangs together until now. Are we not beginning to see the signs of that globally? throughout the world as God is beginning to shake. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, that means sonship. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. We're waiting for the rapture, for the change, to be glorified. Through this shaking, through God that is judging his church, purging out the rebels. And it goes on. Can you not see how this all fits together? And glorification must come in its own order. God works through a divine order, which he's doing, and he's in complete control in what he's doing, even though governments seem to be blind leaders of the blind. People are wondering what's happening. Prices to buy food and petrol and gas and all this business going through the roof, and we've seen nothing yet to what is coming. Because God has started to shake. And we need to understand as Christians how to interpret this shaking. And if there is fear and unbelief in you, you are not going to understand what God is saying. This is why we've got to walk by faith in these last days. Because the arm of the flesh is going to let you down, which you've been trusting in. It's going to, and it is. Everything is confused. Politics is confused. Your politicians are confused. Everyone. Why? Because they cannot interpret God is shaking. Now, we as Christians, filled with the power of God, must interpret, must understand. And how do we understand? Because flesh and blood doesn't reveal it. It comes by the Spirit, by the Word of God. As God's people speak, as the prophetic speaks in these last days. And we've got many false prophets that are speaking, but they are not interpreting this shaking. And so we must hear what the Spirit is saying. And the church will always discern it. And God will never go contrary to his word. So how are we to stand this in these last days? How are we to stand in this shaking? What is this shaking for? Well, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. And here the word of God shows us what God is going to do in the last days. And I believe we live in the last days, without doubt. So Hebrews 12, and we'll take it up from verse 25 of Hebrews 12. And he says, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. So there's the warning. He says, don't refuse the one who is speaking to us by the Spirit. And he's already given that warning back in the other verses of where Israel under Moses didn't listen. They refused to listen to Moses. And they griped and they moaned, and God gave them up in the wilderness. And it is a warning to the church today to listen what the Spirit says to the church. Don't make this mistake. Because that's what it, you read it in your own time from chapter 12. That's what he's saying. So he says, see that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks where? From heaven. God sent the Holy Spirit down at Pentecost. Where? From heaven. Because Christ now sits at the right hand of the Father. He has come back to us through the Holy Spirit, empowering us. And he says, don't refuse him who now speaks. because we have to interpret God in this shaking and what he's saying. Whose voice then shook earth, but not now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. So this shaking, the nature of this shaking, is not only going to be the earth, but the heavens themselves. Why the heavens? Because even the heavens are not clean in his sight, the word of God tells us. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of the things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. So he says this shaking has started, not only in the house of God, but now in the world, to remove those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. So what man has made, what man has built, these political systems, these dynasties, all of it that man has built and made, your technology, everything, those things that we have relied upon, the arm of the flesh, God says, I will shake and I will remove it all in these last days. Awesome. That the things which cannot be shaken may remain. And the word of God that you stand on, I stand on, the promises of God's word, yes, they'll even be shaken, but they will remain. Because he's going to show that his promises are true today as they were right through all the centuries of all the saints that walk by faith. Because the church is in such unbelief that he's got to shake it to remove that hardness of heart and unbelief, to embrace again God's word. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, that's why he calls us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What kingdom? Not the kingdom of this world, the kingdom of heaven. Christ is soon to come and restore and bring his kingdom, his government upon the earth. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Why? For our God is a consuming fire. And that's how he comes. And that's why he's purging the sons of Levi, spiritually speaking. That's why he's purging your life and my life, for the purpose that we can stand in these last days through the shaking. So we need to interpret first through this shaking that this is for me to be able to stand by the grace and mercy of God. As you begin to see things fall, it's like a domino effect, one after the other after the other, and it's happening and it will happen. And so we interpret this shaking of the heavens and the earth for the grace and mercy of God for me to be able to stand and remain faithful to the word of God. Not faithful to your church, not faithful to a ministry or denomination, but faithful to Christ, to his word. So that's the first thing we need to interpret. You see, we have to remember in what we've been talking about here that Israel was brought into the very presence of God on Mount Sinai. We see it there. And now Mount Sinai, spiritually speaking, is Mount Zion, where Christ is going to come. It speaks spiritually of his church, his people. And so it was speaking there of God's presence. And they feared God's presence when you read it. They didn't want God's presence. They were afraid of his presence. Well, God is now going to shake, and he's shaking not only his body, his church, but he's shaking the world for his presence again. But you don't have to run away. You don't have to be in fear, because this shaking is bringing you into the presence of Almighty God, and you won't burn up. Don't run away. This shaking is so that you run to Him and not run away. So that is another thing to interpret with this shaking that's going on. This shaking, you say to yourself, is for me to run closer to Almighty God and not run away. Can you not see this? This is why purification has started amongst us. Now, I want to break this down yet further with regard to this shaking, and I want to break this down into two points, a twofold point. The first one is the church and Zion, which speaks of Israel, always move together in whatever God is doing. So whatever God is doing and saying and working in the church, in the body of Christ, God is also going to work with Israel, the nation of Israel. And so God is going to shake Israel as well, and Israel is being shaken for the purpose to restore her, to receive her Messiah. And this shaking is going to be a purging. Now, not a lot who are very into Israel talk much about this, but the scriptures are absolutely clear that not only is God purging, shaking the body of Christ, but He's going to shake Israel to purge her, to root out the rebels, so that a remnant will be there to receive their Messiah, and their eyes will be open and they will see. So whatever God is doing in the church, He is also doing with the remnant of Israel. And so we see then the first thing through this shaking, the gospel is to go forth for the purpose to cleanse and to remove all the false teachers and the heresy amongst God's remnant. Note that I say amongst God's remnant. So this shaking is for the very purpose that the Word of God, and this is why we believe the deeper life in the Spirit, is going forth to remove false teachers, to remove heresy, to restore back the remnant for sonship, to restore them back, not under man, but under the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. So this is why God is allowing shaking in the church, for that very purpose, to restore and to bring us back. This is why I'm such a believer. We are under the times of restoration, being brought back from our forefathers, many who profess Christ, but many that were in bondage, held under religion, denominationalism, under man. The power of the Spirit of God has come baptizing us, delivering us from all of that bondage. This is why it says in the Word of God, wherefore come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. That is speaking spiritually to us, where we were held in bondage and those unclean religious things that went on. So there is a reason why God is shaking in the house of God, to bring forth a remnant, the sons of God, to be purified in these last days. So that is the first thing that I believe the Spirit reveals. The second thing, the shaking is a warning to backsliders and for repentance. We know this through the prodigal son. So God is allowing shaking in the church to give backsliders a chance to come back and to get their lives, their walk right with God. and of course repentance. And this is why the prophetic is speaking out in these last days. You see, the nature of the body, the nature of this assembly, is prophetic. God is raising and has been raising a prophetic people because Jesus is coming soon. And this is why the world cannot interpret spiritually what God is beginning to do through this shaking. But you can, because you have the Spirit of truth. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." He has given you the ability, coming to you as the teacher, to teach you to be able to interpret this shaking that is started, so that you can have something of God, the Word of God, to be able to share to people when they ask and they say, "What is happening? What is going on?" God will give you the words to be able to interpret what they are fearing, what they are confused about. This is judgment coming. What we are seeing now, we are seeing God starting to judge. And some will listen to that and some won't. Some will mock it and others will think what you have said, because God has got a remnant. And the world cannot interpret it, but they will hear through those who can interpret what this shaking is about. They only see it on a political level. They only see it as the governments. It's their fault. They got it all wrong. Or we elected the wrong leaders and so on. That's how they always interpret it. But we keep our ears and our eyes open. Yes, we listen to some of these political views. Yes, we listen to some of these videos that we receive, but it's for the purpose to keep our ears and eyes open for prayer and intercession. That is for salvation, for mercy, and for corruption that goes on. Most of the governments are corrupt. A lot of your governments are criminals. And this is why we pray for God's mercy and grace, so that we can interpret by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, when they bring these things up, because they are. Your family brings it up. Your spouse brings it up. It's all around us. People are asking these questions because they realize things are not what they used to be. Life has changed. Now, we know it, the powers of darkness are trying to usher and bring in the new world order. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to build a utopia on the earth. And part of that utopia that they want to establish is to cleanse and to remove many people. The world is overpopulated. So in order to be able to accomplish what they want to do, they have to remove many people. And they know how they're doing it. We could just go on with all of that, what the devilish acts of the devil is trying to do. And we need to be able to interpret these things from the Word of God. I said to you, brothers and sisters, about 7-8 years ago, one of the words that you will hear coming up in the last days is eugenics. I brought that forth, and I believe that came by the Spirit. And that's all you hear now, in different forms. What they're trying to do to reduce the population. And we're hearing all these ungodly things that they're trying to do. They are attacking the seed of the woman. Right back there in Genesis 3, nothing new under the sun. The devil does the same old things every time, but just disguises it and changes it and everything. He is attacking God's creation. Man being made in his image. That's what he's attacking. And he's working it through governments, through leaders, and you name it, because they're corrupt. They worship Satan. They're Luciferian, many of them. This is why we hear so much of child sacrificing that's going on, paedophilia, you name it. It's all coming out into the open. And Christians are blind to it, running away. And we have to interpret these things. We have to know these things because God is shaking. And he's going to shake with all this abortion that goes on. All this blood that's coming up to the mercy seat. These are human beings created in God's image. And he's going to judge it. And it started. But he has to get God's people to see it first. And that's why we get in prayer and intercession and supplicate for God's mercy. Why? Because there is a remnant through this shaking that will stand, because they will stand and believe the word of God, and they will stand upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the rock himself. And some will hear and some won't hear. We're living in an age of exposure, and not all see it. And it's all a warning to turn away. And this is why Jesus said it would be like the times of Noah. And did they listen? No. 8 souls were saved. And we're seeing again those demonic, evil things that were going on before the flood. This is why I'm open to the fact, I've heard a lot of people saying what we're seeing coming forth now, this ungodliness is Nephilim technology. Messing about with man's genes, his DNA, he wants to change him genetically so that he's no longer in the image of God. And that's why they're using all these ungodly things. And this is why there's such an emphasis in vaccination. These aren't vaccines, this mRNA. This is something completely different. It's devilish, it's demonic. And we need to interpret this because God is shaking. This is an outright rebellion from the powers of darkness against Almighty God, because Satan is being exposed through this shaking. This shaking is to expose the powers of darkness, and he knows it's happening. He's at times got more discernment than Christians have. And so that is why he's working now like he is, and everything is being speeded up. They want to usher in this new one world order. They want to have a digital profile of you, where they watch you, control you, see your movements, what you do, what you say, what you believe, where you go, what you spend, who you meet. And the next thing they want to do is get rid of cash. So we become a cashless society. I keep saying to people, I go into shops, use cash still. We become so reliant on these cards. What's it all for? It's a sign to us. But of course, we know that these things are going to happen. And God will provide. And he is providing. We don't know how long this is going to go on for, but I want to show you as I close with this, how God provided saints who are in situations, how he will do it today for us. But we cannot be blinded to this, because God is shaking the heavens and the earth, and he's shaking the powers of darkness. He's shaking this to bring it out into the light so that we see these devilish, demonic works of the powers of darkness. Yes, sister, knowledge is the key. You're absolutely right. And the Holy Spirit has come to teach us, to give us what? Knowledge. And you won't get it all the while your heart's still in the world, living and acting like the world. God has placed a separation on us for that very purpose, so that we can discern, we can be a discerning prophetic people of these last days. We know what Romans chapter 1 tells us. We've read it many times. That speaks of what's happening to man's soul, his spirit, his conscience. The great falling away. It's all there. What does 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1 tell us? Let's just read that whole chapter. I know we know it, but I believe it's so important in the context of what we're talking about. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you, what are we doing today? We're gathering together unto who? Unto him. Not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter. Are you troubled? Is there fear? Confusion? We're not to be. As if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, that the day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. What is this falling away? This falling away is God shaking. He is allowing this, because through this shaking will come the falling away first, for the very purpose that the man of sin be revealed. Who will be revealed? The devil working through him. Sadly, he has to let him go forth in that 7 years, so that eyes will be opened. The shaking, he says, who opposes and exalts himself above all things that is called God or that is worship, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, because that's what he lusts for. That's what he wants. He wants to be God of this world. And so God is shaking now the heavens and the earth. He's shaking to expose that in him. To open the eyes of the world. That's what he wants to do. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. So the Christian church, the prayers of the saints, the overcomers who pray intercede, have restrained this. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. So your prayers are gathering together, meetings like this, the preaching and teaching of the word, praying, warring in the spirit is here. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Here it is. This lawlessness. Right back after the flood. Nimrod. The first one, the rebellious one, the lawless one, establishing, building, That was occult that was taking place. Only he who now restrains, who's that? Us, the church, will do so until he is taken out of the way, until we're raptured. And then, to put it bluntly, all hell will be let loose for a season. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. So the shaking that started is to expose the lawless one. And God will shake and shake until the brightness of his coming comes, and he puts him down and his enemies also, and he will establish true peace upon the earth. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs and lying wonders. Satan is going to enter this Antichrist, the lawless one, with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. That is a good prayer to pray. Lord, put the love of the truth in my heart that I may be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, because God is saying, you can ask for this truth. You can ask for this, but because they don't take it seriously, they're not bothering, God says, right, I'll send strong delusion that you can't believe. It's all part of the shaking. That they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. In other words, their heart was in the world. And he goes on about standing fast, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and the belief in truth. Thank God he calls us from the foundation of the world. And the only way you will know if you are called is that you will endure and remain faithful to the end. That is a sign you have been called from the foundation of the world. So there we've seen the great apostasy and the shaking now of the heavens and the earth is exposing everything, and it will lead towards the great apostasy that is happening. Man is becoming lawless, reprobate, defiling himself. The most abominable things that are coming forth now, grotesque, some things you can't even speak about. And what they're even doing in medical science. Appalling, abominable things. Defiled. No wonder God is challenging us now not to trust anymore in the arm of the flesh, but to trust him and these promises. And he wouldn't do that if he doesn't provide. Don't listen to the devil's lies. If God is challenging us and asking us to do this, then he's a God of love and mercy, and he will provide. Of course he will. And I want to close with something that you can take comfort from, because I know this has been challenging. I know that this has really revealed. I know the enemy didn't like this message being taught because he's had a good go at me this week. But praise God, that gives it away. But here we are in Genesis 47, and take it up from verse 13. Remember that Joseph, his brothers, they've seen Joseph. He's revealed himself, who he really is. Remember that they... they got rid of him, they sold him into slavery, and how God worked with him because a famine was coming, and how he was exalted and brought out and the right-hand man to Pharaoh. And through the 7 years where they're bringing in all the corn, all the food into the store, and then there is going to be the 7 years of famine. And then, of course, we know the story of where his family, his brothers, come down. They get to hear that Egypt has got all this grain and everything, and you know the story. And they're united, and the famine gets worse and worse. This is a type of shaking. This is God shaking here, but this is not a global shaking. And we know the story that finally Israel, Jacob, with his family, comes down and unites with Joseph. And Joseph says, I'm going to look after you. But it was God providing. What is he doing? He's keeping a remnant alive. And let's take it up in verse 13. Now there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very severe, so that the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan languished because of the famine. And Joseph gathered all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan from the grain which they brought. And Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. And so when all the money fails, and it does, then they start to sell their goods and everything and so on. But God is still protecting. And when the and let's take it up, verse 20. Then Joseph brought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. For every man of Egypt sold his field because the famine was so severe upon them. And so the land became Pharaoh's. And as for the people, he moved them into cities from one end of the borders of Egypt to the other end. Only the land of the priests he did not buy, for the priests had rations allotted to them by Pharaoh, and they ate their rations which Pharaoh gave them. Therefore, they did not sell their land. Now, notice what's happening. God is intervening here through this shaking. He is preserving a remnant. Where are they? They're amongst their enemies. Egypt is pagan. It's the world. And God is using the world in which to save and feed and restore his remnant. Can you see how all things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose? God uses everything, and God is going to use a similar type of thing in this shaking, when we're going to find that things are going to fail, when we may not be able to afford food in the natural, or there won't be much food on our shelves and everything. It's coming, brothers and sisters. Look how God preserves, how he provides. This is a type. Then Joseph said to the people, indeed, I have brought you and your land this day for Pharaoh. Look, here is seed for you, and you shall sow the land. And it came to pass in the harvest that you shall give one fifth to Pharaoh, for four fifths shall be your own as seeds for the field and for your food, for those of your household, and as food for your little ones. And so it goes on. So God is working. And then look in verse 27. So Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen. That was a good area. And they had possessions there, and grew and multiplied exceedingly. So look what God is doing with his remnant, the chosen. They're not only being preserved, they're in the natural, they shouldn't be in Egypt, but God is preserving, protecting them. And not only that, but they're being blessed, they're multiplying. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the length of Jacob's life was 147 years. And as the time draws near, he dies and he says, don't leave my bones here, but take them back, and may they be buried with my fathers. God is preserving in shaking. And God is going to do the same as he's shaking the heavens and the earth. And you have nothing to fear. God will provide. And look how he's providing here. This is supernatural. It's God doing it. And it's going to be the same for us in these closing days. It will be supernatural. God providing. And not only will he provide, but he will continue to bless and multiply in this provision. But you have got to interpret God's shaking. You've got to understand spiritually, because flesh and blood cannot reveal this to you. This can only come by the Spirit, by the Word of God, by our faith in the promises of God's Word. He will preserve, he will keep us whole in mind, body, and spirit as this shaking is going to continue, and it's not going to stop. He will shake and shake and shake, and also the heavens, and that shaking will go on until Christ comes and he brings his kingdom upon the earth to establish it. And so because of this shaking, we are now seeing the manifestation of the powers of darkness revealing themselves like we have never seen before. But we have a message to proclaim, because many people are asking questions. Many people are confused. They know things are not right. And these are all the conditions of the harvest. The harvest is plentiful, the Word of God says. Pray for the laborers that they may be sent. Pray for that anointing upon those laborers. Who are those laborers? You and I. Here am I. Use me, Lord. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you that you love us. You don't want any of us to perish. You want all of us to make it through as overcomers. We thank you, Lord, that we are being preserved and kept. And Father, we know that by Revelation 12, preserved and kept in the womb. Father, thank you for this. And Lord, I pray that my brothers and sisters will enter into the blessing of this word. Use them wherever they go. Anoint their words, that they will speak that word, that those who ask have need of hearing. May they be able to interpret spiritually, prophetically, this shaking that is happening. And Lord, we know and we can say confidently that God is shaking because he is judging. And some will hear, and sadly some won't. But Lord, we desire to remain faithful to you, to your word. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Let him in constancy follow the master.